Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting, Dakota County Board of Corrections meeting, Monday, February 8, 4 p.m.
We'll call the meeting to order. Would you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Right back there. Okay, would you call a roll, please?
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Biscay is absent.
Rick has taken some time off and is asked to be excused.
I'll make it. Go ahead. I'll make a motion to excuse Rick from the meeting today.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to excuse Mr. Biscay. Call the roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Going to the next item is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting held on July 19th.
January.
Pardon?
January.
January, what did I say?
We wished July. It was July.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm just thinking, I'm just trying to think, get rid of the snow, I'm sorry.
So moved.
Seconded.
Which July was that? 2008 or 2010? Okay, approve the minutes for January. I'll do it again. January 19th, 2010.
We move it and I second it.
Motion is made and seconded to approve. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Next is approve the minutes of the emergency meeting that we had on January the 26th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. Corrections? call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
With that, we'll recess and go to the Board of Corrections. We all call the meeting to order. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to this room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Motion carried. Now we have the minutes of our previous meeting. Need to have them approved?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the meeting's minutes. Any corrections? Call the roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Okay, at this time we'll hear from Mr. Kern, our Director of Corrections. Carry the floor is yours.
We're going to look at some of the water because I've got a long month on this too, but...
And it must be infectious that's going around. Maybe there's a vaccine for it.
Give too much of a vaccine already, you know.
Okay, I've got December for the figures for the average daily population, and it should actually be January. The figures are correct, it's just the wrong month. But for the month of January, we had 81 county inmates, 28 federal inmates, one juvenile for a total in-house population of 109. That was the lowest number of people we had in-house since February of 2008. Our fiscal year to date, 7 months of this fiscal year, the average population is 99 county inmates, 27 federal, two juvenile, with 125 for the average population. Federal income is broken down a little differently this time than previous because we have marshals at 52,641. Then we show the ICE, this is what we brought from immigration last month, 3,575. Total federal income of $56,216 for calendar year, and $387,338 for the fiscal year to date. Per diem cost for January was $55, or $57.36. And you can see the per diem breakdown for fiscal year as well as calendar year. We've expended 53% of our authorized budget, which is 5% under budget, or $138,000. The jail standards board provided us with formal notification on January 22nd that the Dakota County Jail is not in compliance with minimum jail standards for emergency procedures. That's the one area we were out of compliance. Fire Marshal, just to refresh your memory, the Fire Marshal inspected us on November the 18th and found 20 items that were out of compliance in his inspection. A different deputy fire marshal, but someone from that office did come back on January 21st, and we were able to show that we had corrected 14 of those deficiencies. Five of these remaining items will be fixed during the same time this month. Actually, that'll be tomorrow. We'll start working on that at a total cost of $5,000. Now, those are items such as fire doors, automatic closers, chain. The electromagnetic chains that will close the doors in case of fire, and major items such as that we had to fix. We had to get a signaling device placed in the work area where our workplace people are in the new jail. Fire Marshal said that the signaling devices in the jail were not loud enough to be heard in that section, so we had to put that device back there, which is just as well because at the current time we're using that for the ICE inmates. They should be finished by the end of the week with those items. That leaves us with one to repair, and that's post indicator valve. And what that is a valve that will show us whether there's water flowing to our sprinkler system. If that should ever stop, then it's supposed to be connected to the alarm board. That didn't happen when the jail was built. In speaking with the contractor, he said, well, that wasn't a requirement. It just recalled it being a requirement at that time. And there was a suggestion made that we just padlock the valve in any open position. That way it can't close. So if there's ever a need to close it, we use the key to padlock, open it up, shut it down. That has been sent to the fire marshal as a counter proposal, and we'll see what the fire marshal has to say on that. If he buys that, it's the cost of a Haspen lock as opposed to another $5,000. So hopefully he'll go along with that. But at any rate, if he does do that, we'll be in full compliance by March 1st. Jail standards will meet in April, and we'll be given the full compliance, and we will take care of the marshals for the fire marshal's issues. Next, the county and the Fraternal Police Association signed a contract on December 22nd with the county. There's a provision in that contract, and I have attached a copy of it to your material, that the county would create a merit commission based on the model of the Sheriff's Merit Commission. The merit commission in place, the one that currently exists between the county and the sheriffs, meets the specific requirements of Nebraska law. It's provided for in law. There are no such requirements for the one that have been agreed to in the contract. There's no prohibitions against establishing something like this, but there's nothing in the state law that provides for it. So therefore, the question remains as to what form this commission will take and what authority we would have, and it should have no more authority than this board gives it. We're going to be testing for entry-level candidates on March 13th. We're scheduled to do that now at South Sioux City High School. The testing criteria are the same as in previous years when the jail was under the sheriff's office. We didn't change any of that. We have the same written personality and agility exams. These jobs are job-related, and they meet the criterion for content and criterion validity. So there's nothing wrong with the testing procedure. We can defend it in court if we have to. So the only immediate issue is the composition of the oral board and the formation of an eligibility list utilizing this merit-style commission. So we have to make a determination as to how that's going to work. Now, I have the rules and regulations of the merit commission that has been set up with the Sheriff's Department pursuant to sections 23.17.21 and 23.17.37 of the Nebraska Code. And that code, I should say, specifically exempts correctional officers.
there are several options you could take, and it's up to the board to decide which way they want to go. The current Merit Commission could simply meet as a commission set up to deal with the needs of jail personnel for testing procedures and just keep everything in place as is. The only difference would be that those sections of this rules and regulations that relate specifically to the requirements and provisions of the Nebraska Code would not relate specifically to them. They have no protection under law or nothing under law. Just the same procedures, the same steps, the same manners could all be the same thing. Could even be the same people. And it would probably, I would see no reason why it wouldn't meet the criterion or the agreement that the county signed. The board agrees to adopt the policy which creates a merit commission for correctional employees. It would be on the same basis. We would simply have a member of the union as a correctional officer sitting on the board in place of a sheriff, and the matter is resolved. So it's I bring that to your attention to see what the board would like to do on that, to set that up, because, like I say, we're going to be doing at least a portion of our testing on March 13th to get an eligibility list together and to try and fill a vacancy that has existed for some time in the jail. I also asked CBM Foods for proposals for the costs associated with providing two hot meals instead of one. The largest number of grievances we have received concerns the fact that cold meals are being served both morning and afternoon. The standard practice has become to put two hot meals on the agenda, and I think that those two hot meals would solve a lot of our issues. At this morning's meeting of the Citizens Advisory Board, it was brought to my attention that members of, at least one member of that board, have been receiving inmate complaints concerning the food, and that inmate complaint stems around having the fact that you're going to eat cold sandwiches at night and cold cereal in the morning. So we have it. I have the money in the budget. It's a nickel a plate increase in the food. I have the money in the budget to cover it, and I think that we can handle it, and we'd have a whole lot fewer problems if we were to do that, and we can address that inmate issue best by doing that. So I'm going to recommend that we sign that. You have, as I say, you have a copy of that in front of you, and the original copy to be signed is with the chairman. And I believe those are all of the items that we have on the agenda.
Any questions for Terry?
Terry, your jail report doesn't reflect, or I don't see it, the work release, house arrest numbers. Is that what we attribute to fewer inmates?
I don't believe they have work release or house arrest on there. House arrest, I know the number of that one. That's more. And work release, as of today, was 7.
So we're just down.
We're down all across the board.
Good.
Now, you understand, as soon as the weather breaks, so will all hell. You know, we'll be back to where we are. But for right now, we're enjoying the lull.
Good deal.
They're coming in to take warm.
Any other questions for Terry? Teacher, you want to just stand by for a minute here while we go on to the next items? First thing we have is to permission to amend the CBM food contract to reflect two hot meals per day, which increases at 5 cents a meal. He has the money in the budget. What is your pleasure?
So we got the money to...
According to Terry, there's the money is in the budget to cover it. He has spent 53%, and he's authorized this time 58%, so he's got a 5% margin on his budget.
Terry, if we serve those two meals a day, they will avoid some of the problems that you have right now, is what you're saying? It? I mean, some of the complaints that I have.
It will avoid the complaints that you get. That's true, because I get two hot meals instead and eat sandwiches every night. And it represents 5 cents a plate, 15 cents a day per inmate. And I've calculated that cost increase in such a way that it could never happen. If we'd have more inmates we can hold, and we would be paying the maximum per plate. And even when I figure it that way, I've still got enough money in that particular line item to cover that.
Well, I would say if you've got the money on budget, you know, it's more to accept the amendment to the CV food contract for reflected 2 meals a day.
And will you add to that, giving the chairperson permission to sign the agreement?
And giving the chairperson that permission to sign the agreement. In my motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the increase on the food contract and get and the chairman to sign the contract. Questions or comments? Call roll.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Okay, the next is, I guess I took care of that. All right, the next item we have here is that we have an employment contract with Mr. Kern to extend his contract. Evaluation was held. It was a good contract, a good evaluation. Matter of fact, it was quite high. And so we need to approve his letter of employment agreement, which gives him a $1,000 increase. Actually, it's $1,000 now and $1,000 later.
I would move to authorize the chair to sign that letter of employment agreement with Terry.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to have the chair sign the contract with Terry Kern as Director of Corrections. Comments? Corrections? Call roll.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Gomez.
Yes.
Okay, I don't see anything else on there. Any board reports? Member reports?
Mayor. Are you going to cover the Merit Commission now or not?
Oh, yeah. That's number 8, isn't it? Thank you. What is your pleasure about the Merit Commission?
I think we should probably have a merit commission in place as we do with the sheriff's department.
It's something that we have a side letter on the contract. When we negotiate a contract, we sign a side letter that we would do that. We haven't done that. So that's where we're at. We agreed to do it. We just haven't fulfilled that agreement.
Who from this board is on the merit commission presently? Is it you and Rick?
I'm not sure.
Rick Boskane, Van Phillips, and Jeremy Rubel.
Well, so it's just one board member from here?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, since Rick isn't here, I think he'd do a mighty fine job in it.
My personal feeling is they're already set up to do it.
Yeah.
And they were doing it before for both units. And then we separated them. So they're doing the same thing they were doing before. So my opinion is that the same board could do both.
Same board plus somebody except...
Yeah, somebody from the jail instead of the sheriff. Terry instead of the sheriff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need a motion? I would move to create that merit commission. The same members plus... Terry instead of the Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to create the Merit Commission for the Board of Corrections and have the same members with the Terry taking the place of the Sheriff. Comments?
Yeah, just a point of order. There's got to be one other correction, too. Jeremy's a deputy. We'd have to replace him with a member of the union for the jailers to be selected by that particular union. So Jeremy would have to be off for a player to be named later, so to speak.
Okay. Is that fair with the motion and the second?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Good comment.
Any questions or comments? Call roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yeah.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Okay, now we're down here to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the Board of Corrections on any issue that was not on the agenda? Nobody's going forward. Emergency business? None? I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn the Board of Corrections. Call roll.
I'm moving Dick seconded.
Tony Dick.
Tony, who else?
Dick.
McNair?
Yeah.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLaurin?
Yes.
Rhodey?
Yes.
Okay, now reconvene to the Board of Commissioners. Mr. Newhouse would like to address the board. Mike?
My name's Mike Newhouse. I'm a county resident. Live at 124 Broadmoor in South Sioux. I had requested a copy of the towing agreement between the county and the three towing companies. I received a copy which is unsigned and undated, and I'm given to understand that the county has no current signed agreement with the towing companies. Is that correct?
The county board has not signed an agreement. That is basically done with the sheriff.
Has the sheriff's department signed such an agreement?
It's been approved by Kim, and I say we just need to have the signatures on by the towing companies.
Okay, so it is yet to be signed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The reason I am here is that on the 8th of January, my son Peter, who's the postmaster in Jackson, Nebraska, was on his way to the post office on Highway 20. Not on a joyride, by the way, because he had been directed by the folks in Lincoln that the office would be open. He, like many other people, got stuck on Highway 20. The sheriff's department, fortunately, came and got him from his vehicle, which he left with his flashers on, went home, and while trying to get our insurance company to come and get the vehicle was ordered towed by the law enforcement center, presumably the sheriff's department, which had identified the vehicle where it was as a hazard, so they towed it. It was towed approximately a quarter of a mile to CNH. The fee for towing amounted to $190, which I'm going to say up front I feel is predatory and excessive. Now, the agreement indicates that there are, which is unsigned, so I guess that's moot, that there are parameters for the cost of towing and the cost of extraordinary circumstances. There's no question that it wasn't an ordinary day. The state had pulled its vehicles off the highway. The county was recalling even the sheriff's vehicles. I mean, it was a nasty day. Be that as it may, the receipt indicates that the towing charge was $90, and there was a $100 charge for special equipment. This was Joe's Towing, by the way, who did this. And the special equipment is identified as snatch blocks. Now, I'm not quite sure what those are. The vehicle had to be towed from a snowbank. All I will say is that when we notified our insurance company, which, by the way, is USAA, which is a preferred risk company which generally deals with active duty and retired military personnel and dependents, when we told them what the fee was, they said, well, where was the vehicle towed? We said, about a quarter of a mile down the road. They said, well, we would tow it to Omaha for that. Quote. So, given what the city has, which is an agreement that says, I believe, that there's a maximum $125 fee for towing and expenses within city limits, knowing that the county has larger borders and has extenuating circumstances, given this individual case, I think $190 to tow a vehicle, even on a snowy day, even with snatch blocks, whatever those are, a quarter of a mile, $190 is excessive. So my suggestion is, if you are going to ratify this towing agreement, I would look at the wide loopholes which appear to be in it, because, and I'm only offering empirical evidence, but I heard from other people that they were charged much more than $190 on that day to have vehicles towed. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know if they were on the highway, whatever. I'm not going to take much more of your time. I'm only here to suggest that you may want to re-examine this towing agreement before you put signatures to it.
Okay. But the agreement is through the Sheriff's Department, not through here.
Well, the Sheriff's Department's acting on behalf of the county, it appears.
That's correct. But we have no control over the sheriff. He's an elected official and runs his own shop.
Does he set his own budget?
Well, that's the only control we have over the sheriff is the budget.
Yes, I wanted to, for the record, bring that up.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's all I have. Any questions of me?
Okay. Yeah, any questions of Mike?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Moving on to the next, Mr. Faber and Mr. Rapp.
It's that time again.
Always good to see you, Ron.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ron Rapp. And the first thing I'd like to do, and of course what we're going to get into, is a review of the year you had. Obviously, we report to you as to what's going on with the plan and the claims and that data. The one thing I wanted to call your attention to, which the county subscribed to about 3 years ago, is a medical advocacy program. And the acronym is MAP. And what it does is it provides to your employees a service, if you will, that they can consult in the event that they have something that is going to go down and they want to know what the best place to get that particular medical procedure, that particular treatment plan, whatever. And it's being, where I'm going with this is it's being used. The annual cost for your subscription is a little over $3,800. And as you can see there, we had this particular plan here. We had 21 of your employees consult MAP for advice as to where these procedures are done and most effective and on and on and on. The numbers we have highlighted there are it was one case where the medical advocacy people, the Delphi people, suggested that this person be referred to Mayo Clinic as opposed to a local hospital. And in that case, it saved almost $44,000 in that single case. And there was three others that were calling your attention to. Just so you know, that the board knows that, number one, that you subscribe to this service at our suggestion, and number two, that it works. Any questions on that? The second thing that we want to kind of lead off with is we're going to be talking about your plan. What does your plan look like? And this is kind of a refresher course. Your plan has a $250 deductible. It provides for a maximum out of pocket for $1,250. In other words, how the plan works is this is basically for a hospital confinement or same-day surgeries, those kinds of things, other than office calls, if you will. The first $250 is absorbed by the employee. The next dollar that's spent, we pay 80%, and the employee pays 20% up to what we call a stop loss of $1,250. So someone, medical disaster, winds up in the hospital for a month, the worst they could get hurt is $1,250, money-wise. Now, you have $25 office calls. You have opted for a CuraQuick benefit, where the person pays just $15, and there are other plan specifications which I won't get into. My point in bringing that to you is that is probably in our office, we have no employer plans with that kind of a deductible. And in Don's office, or our combined offices, he has one that has that kind of a deductible. So I just wanted to kind of bring you up to date on what the plan covers and how it how it's structured. Now we can get into the reporting to you of the results of the plan year that will close March 1.
What I passed out was a single sheet and then the document for the claims history and renewal information. I want you to focus on the single sheet first, and the reason is because you had a rather large claim in that was paid in January. In fact, you have almost $101,000 in claims for the month of January. So your total that month in all of your paid claims is, as you can see in the highlighted area, is $105,977. The carrier picked up $52,745 of that. You end up picking up $35,000 with your aggregating specific. The reason that's important was it was several huge claims, and it hit right at the end of the year. So we are in the process of negotiating with the carriers. As we always do, we look at a number of different carriers, and we're real close. We're not quite there yet, and that's the reason why. So we have some numbers that are almost firm, but because they want more information when they see these kind of claims come through, and we think it's going to be fine. But we just want to tell you that up front. So if you look at your attachment point, the AP column on the left side, you can see that year-to-date, $489,000 should be the maximum that you'd have to spend, minus your aggregating specific. You spent $462,000. That's very close. Very, very close. But also keep in mind that we lowered your rates last year by $190,000. So, and we want to do that when we can. We want to take advantage of each and every year when we can. So having said that, I'm going to go through this rather quickly. I would like for you to ask questions and stop me if you would. Go to the book.
May I ask you a question right now?
Sure.
February 10th, is that one of the months that we're accountable for, but there's no figures in there?
Yes, February is the last month of your plan year.
That's right now, Bill.
That's right now.
So we...
We don't know what that's going to be.
Okay, our figures should jump quite considerably then.
We don't think so,
but
it could. Again, if you look at the attachment point column, that's the point at which the carrier, after you paid that, the carrier attaches itself to the claim and pays it. Okay, so if you look at that conceptually, you will put another $45,000 in the claims pot for the month of February. We don't know what the claims are going to look like. We don't anticipate that there's going to be any major surprises. We knew this was coming. You know, it takes a while for claims to come through. And we'll go through some of that, but we don't anticipate
it. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't anticipate. Again, anything can happen at any time. That's why you have coverage, but we don't anticipate there's going to be any major problems. If you go to the first page past tab 1, look at the highlights. This is your five-year look at both your fixed costs and your claims, both dental and medical. The two numbers that I've highlighted are the claims for last year and the claims for this year. You can see last year $371,000, this year $534,000, and we still have a month to go. So you had a bad claims year. I mean, you really did. But if you look past those two highlighted numbers, you had a $525,000 the year before that. So you had kind of a bad year in there with a good year in between. So you can see the five-year run there. What I want you to look at is the bottom then where it shows savings, okay? Year to date, you are still $26,979 ahead of your maximum claims cost. If you look at the claims you paid, look at the amount that you had to put away for max for the claims, you're still $29,979 ahead. Okay? You put another $45,000 in the pot for February. If you don't spend that, that's going to be money that you will be ahead, far more ahead. Look where we were last year. You say you did not spend $342,000. The year before, $402,000, $246,000, and $51,000. So you can see that each and every year you've had surplus in claims. We got them to lower those rates last year by $190,000, and it came out pretty close. So, you know, when we can get them lowered, that's what we want. But you also have to have enough to make sure you don't have any surprises for the next year. Flip the next page. This is really a look. It has probably more meaning than some. This is a look at what your rates have been since 2005 based on your actual cost broken down by single and family. So it's equivalent to a premium, if you will.
And you can see that in 2005, you had a $421 amount for singles and $1,095 for families. I would also remind you that that year was the year that you had a bid for fully insured of $487,000 for single and $1,299 for family. Okay?
That was the year that you published the request for proposals seeking proposals for your medical insurance. The last rates for a fully insured plan that we had was for the 2004-05, and this is the original RFP that you published. It was $487.59 for a single rate. Now, this was in 05, remember, and $1,299 for a family. So inflate that any way you want for 5 years, and you can imagine where your fully insured rate would be based on those numbers, because the previous year it was 413 as opposed to the last one was 487. So interpolate that in any way you want. And the single rate for a fully insured plan, based on those numbers of 5 years ago, would have been make your eyes water.
Medical inflation has run between 10 and 11%, and sometimes up to 16 in the last 5 years. So you can imagine what they would look like if you had a fully insured. Again, Randy, if you have a $250 deductible, that's the lowest you can buy in a commercial product now. So go across the line, and you can see till 2009, 505, and 909, and you can see those rates go up and down in between times. That's because you are doing a self-funded plan. If you were doing a fully insured plan, they would just continually go up. They would not go down. Okay. So you're really, what we promised early on was stability, and that's really what we've delivered is the ability to help you manage this and maintain that stability. So with a $250 deductible plan, if I had these rates on what your actual costs were, we'd be so busy we wouldn't be able to come and talk to you. So you're doing very well. Go down to the bottom on the highlighted, those are your rates for your dental plans, and you can see over the last 5 years they've gone up and down, but a $17 single and a $48 family rate is, you cannot get anywhere close to that in a commercial market, you just can't. So you're doing quite well there as well. The next page is, says COB with other plans included. That COB is the coordination of benefits. Really what that says is we found somebody had some other coverage and we were able to capture some payments from those folks as opposed to you paying it all. There were two patients involved, $3,800 worth of billing, and you ended up paying $3,102 out of that. So again, those are the kind of services that you're paying us to do. Flip the next page and you'll get a report that shows at the top dollar grouping report by paid dollars. And this is really kind of a summary of what's happened with your huge claims this year. If you look at the highlighted amounts, that these are in paid 20 to 30. Those are claims that were in $20,000 to $30,000 claims. You had three of them for $129,000. 30 to 40, you had five of them for $289,000. And look at the bottom. You had one claim that was $209,996. So those are the biggies that took up. Those six claims were equal to a total of $628,000. Now, you only paid for those claims $375,000, but last year your total claims were $371,000. So those six claims were actually more than what you spent all last year. So if the scary numbers are, if you look at that, your total amount of billed claims for this year, with those months that we have, we're not even done, is over $1 million. But you paid $561. That's why you pay the network fee to get the discounts and not have to pay all that. Okay, next step. The next yellow page. These are claims paid by age category. And there's a couple of things that we want to discuss here. And if you look at, you can see where your big claims have come from the years 30 through 44. That's the largest number of claims. And the reason those are highlighted is because that's the biggest impact that you can have on a wellness program, is to focus on those years. In fact, 30 to 45, or 49 even, add that group in there. Those are the ones that you can really have an impact on down the road with a wellness program, because each year they get a little older and you don't have a great deal of turnover. So the better that you can equip them and the more training they can have and the more information they can have to take better care of themselves, the lower cost you're going to have down the road. Because look at your 65 to 75 dollar amount of claims that in that category. So four categories were over $100,000 in claims. So that's a key indicator right there. The next one, after the next yellow sheet, shows you paid the claims by major diagnosis category. Cancers were 10.53%, circulatory system 28.92%, and musculoskeletal, which is joints and muscles, 20.87%. Those three categories took 60.32% of your total claims. Okay? Two out of those three, you can definitely have an impact with a wellness program. The next report shows the analysis of benefits by type of service, and as you might expect, hospitals took 43.16% of your claims, and surgical care took 12.88%, and the rest of those are scattered all over. But I think you know these kind of reports will show you really where the dollars are, and there aren't any real surprises in that one. The next one is the PPO utilization, or Midlands Choice utilization. That's your preferred provider network. And the only thing I want to tell you about this is that the discounts range from a high of 70% to a low of 1%, but you averaged 30% discount on the bill charges.
Is that clear to everybody what the preferred provider is and how it works?
Basically, you pay a fee to Midlands Choice, and you access their discounts because they have contracts with all providers, facilities, and individual doctor's offices. So there's a fee you pay for that, which is very minimal compared to the kind of discounts that you're getting. So it always pays off. The next report shows the amount of paid by ICD-9 code, and that's diagnosis type code. All this does is breaks down further what we talked about a little bit ago. You can see your biggest ones are your cancers, your circulatory system, and musculoskeletal. And I'm not going to go through all that, but that shows you where every claim was paid, and how it was paid, and the kind of discounts you got. Okay, tab two. Tab two is your pharmaceuticals. The only thing I want to discuss there is that there are two things. Number one, Beniscript tells us that the ratio of how much the employer pays versus how much the employee pays is out of industry standards. You're paying more than the employees are paying. And I have that document here, I think, because I think it's kind of important that you know. Because they track industry trends all across the country. Current industry averages are that the employer pays 60 to 65%, and the employees pay 35 to 40. You're currently paying 72.1, and the members are paying 27.9. So you're paying more than your share based on industry standards, based on the Beniscript report, and I'll give that to them. The other thing I wanted to mention is that you are, and we can do something about this. You did not have any over-the-counter medications this year on this report, and there were 9 last year. Remember, over-the-counter medications, we've set it up so that employees can buy over-the-counter for, I believe, $5 if they have to get a prescription, and it saves the county quite a bit of money based on the fact that otherwise they're going to get a prescription. And over-the-counter come in categories, I believe, it's the inhalants, things for asthma, as well as acid reduction, those kinds of things. And I have a new letter that I will get to Ted and Joan to get to send out to employees, reiterating what they can get for the lower cost and what the process is, because I think it's time to remind them. Again, the next page just shows you the categories and what they're used for based on the amount of pharmaceuticals that were purchased. Let's go to tab three. Tab three is dental, and again, there's no surprises in this one. It shows that the 15 to 19-year-old category is one of the highest utilizations, and that would stand to be true. And, of course, that's all dependents because you don't have any employees that are 15 to 19 years old. Your 45 to 49-year-old group and your 55 to 59-year-old group are the next highest, and there's really no surprises there. So some good utilization. And understand that a good dental program helps your medical, because dental hygiene has an awful lot to do with medical. Okay, then the last report in that section is just how much the employees paid for their share of dental, and at the last page it was $5,092 that they paid their portion of the dental plans for services. Okay, tab 4. This shows the renewal numbers, and we have renewal figures right now from Perico, which if we go with that, will actually lower your fixed cost. Now remember, your fixed costs are the only thing you're guaranteed to spend, but it actually lowers your fixed costs by 7%, by about $10,860. It will increase your max cost by $115,000 if you were to hit it. Again, you haven't hit it yet in 5 years, so you don't think you're going to, but basically that's what that renewal plan would do. We're still negotiating with them based on they want more information on those large claimants. And if, in fact, that doesn't go well, the next alternative would be the fourth one over, which is called EBU. And their rates are looking fairly favorable, too, but they've all been given this last information, because they're the ones who are underwriting all of this, and they're the ones that are going to have to make a decision. If we could lock it in today, I'd take the Perica one, because they've been pretty good and we know what they are. We don't have to worry about the fact that they're good quality. And by the way, all the companies we look at, a dozen different companies we look at, are A or A-plus rated. We won't put you in any risk in that regard. But I guess what we are looking at today and what we'd be asking you for is to, when we get down with the final negotiations, because of your schedules, we want to lock this down. We want to lock it down as fast as we can, but we don't know which of these two it's going to be. We'd like to have you be able to give us the permission to have the chairman sign the document of whichever of these two comes out to be the best. And they're going to be within these parameters. So I guess I should go on to tell you that the second page of that is simply the breakdown of the monthly rates. Okay? You have what are the projected costs, you have what are the maximum costs, and you're probably going to come fairly close to what's in your projected costs, because that's what you normally do. The underwriters are really pretty good at doing that. And now those rates for your singles are pretty close to where you are this year. Covered a lot in a real quick, short period of time. Questions, concerns, issues?
But what you can now see, which we promised 5 years ago, was instead of just paying a full premium and not knowing what's going on within your group, you know what's going on within your group. Maybe even to a fault. Maybe we give you too much information. But you do know what's going on in the plan, things that we can make suggestions on, for example, reinforcing that prescription deal where you can have an over-the-counter thing. We need to reinforce that because, as you can see, it wasn't used, kind of out of sight, out of mind, but we're prepared to get to Jonah and Ted a quote-unquote reminder that this is out there and it should be used. Those kinds of things that's what you pay us for, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're working for you. You pay us. We give you the amounts that you pay us right up front. Those have not changed, by the way, in 5 years.
The other thing I would say is that we did not increase our fees at all this year. Those stay the same.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, the thing that we would propose to you at this meeting, because you won't meet again until
22nd,
would be to empower the chair with the concurrence of Ted, because he's pretty savvy on this stuff. One of those two proposals, when we get it, which we should have very shortly.
I'm thinking in the next day or two.
If you needed to call a special meeting, if you want to go that route, you just tell us when and where. But otherwise, to empower the chair, upon recommendations of the clerk, to execute one of those two renewals.
To understand with stop loss, if 2 days from now we haven't got anything decided, somebody comes down with something, that's going to be a major cost factor. All bets are off and we start over.
What's your pleasure? Would you care to leave the decision of the 2 to 10 and authorize the chair to sign?
I would think so, that we just go ahead and give you the authorization, you want that to go ahead and...
Motion. Is that a motion?
Yeah. I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded that we authorize the clerk to evaluate the plans presented, make the decision, and authorize the chair to sign the agreement approved by the clerk. Questions? Any comments?
Is the volume and quality of information what you want to see?
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And just understand, we're going to bring you the best, what we think, from our expertise, is the best of those.
That's what we pay you for.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Hopefully we've never let you down.
Haven't yet. Any comments? If not, call a roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Any questions?
You'll get back to Ted, and he'll let me know when the city will take care of it.
We should have this by the middle of the end of the week.
Check with Ted. I'll be out of town until Monday. Okay. Take care of that. Kim Jorgensen.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
My name's Kim Jorgensen, and I'm with Mercy Business Health Services, and I am here to request a signing for an employee assistance program agreement for the Dakota County employees. I'm going to, first of all, start off by giving you a brief overview about employee assistance program services. It's basically EAPs are benefits that employers purchase, and what we cover in the EAP basically are counseling services for all of your employees. We do three things. We provide assessments, brief counseling services, and referral services. It's come to my attention that the county has opted to no longer provide, or is considering no longer to provide, mental health and substance abuse services for their employees, and they are considering, or they requested information from me about providing an EAP and see if they could maybe make up some of that difference for that. So basically what we're proposing is that your employees would have access to EAP services at $27 per employee per year. This would cover 6 EAP sessions for them. They pay nothing. It's all free for them. The county would foot the $27 per employee per year bill. The contract covers 107 employees. And in addition to that, the individuals, if they needed further assistance counseling, we could provide up to 20 sessions per individual for $75 per session per year. So each employee and their family members are entitled to 6 free sessions, and if they needed further counseling, they could have an additional 20 sessions at $75 per session. Do you have a question?
May I ask a question here?
Mm-hmm.
You were saying the cost of this for there were free sessions, how many?
There are 6 sessions per family member per year.
Okay.
And then the cost of that is $27 per employee per year. So 27 times 107 would be the cost of the EAP.
Those 6 sessions are included in the $27 employee fee.
And
you talked about $75 for what?
Yes. That would be if the individuals needed additional counseling.
Beyond the six.
Okay. Then we could bill for a fee for service.
That's what I wanted to clear up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. And this it also includes, we would come out and do orientation for the employees, let them know how to access the service. We would do supervisory training for all managers to help them identify when folks may be in need of assistance. We have a formal referral process that's in place based on work performance, and people could be guided to the EAP based on work performance issues as well. We do drug-free workplace supervisory training, recognizing what the effects are on performance of drugs and alcohol for the individual. We'd also do some wellness education types of seminar sessions for the county as well, for all employees to attend.
Questions?
Would this be a one-year contract?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's actually in the contract a 30-day clause to get out of it if you would so desire to.
I understand $27 for the year per employee, 107 employees, would make the cost $2,889. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And this is to cover mental health situations.
Right.
Which this replaces what we were turned down last time, which is considerably less, as I understand it.
Yes, but you would not have access to physician visits. And I think your plan is going to cover prescription drugs for certain mental health conditions. I'm not aware of specifically what those are. But the individual would have to pay out-of-pocket the visit to the physician. Unless the physician...
The employee pays out of their own pocket.
Yeah, for the physician
visit. For a physician.
For if it was a mental health-related disorder. However, if the physician coded it, like insomnia, then chances are that the medical insurance would pay whatever they would for any other...
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Just $70, or what would you say, 70?
70. If an individual needed more sessions beyond the six, then they could have up to 20 additional sessions in a year, and the cost of those would be $75 per session. So if I use my six sessions, there would be no additional cost to the county for that. Say like I used eight, then there would be $150 additional dollars to the county for those additional two sessions.
The additional cost goes to the county,
yes.
Not the individual.
Not the individual, to the county.
I want to clear that up.
Okay.
Any other questions? No more from the board? Do you have anything you want to bring up?
On the six sessions now, is that six sessions saying that, is that for, let's just pick a broad view of depression? For whatever happens. Now, is that six sessions for that? And now, let's say they start going through either family crisis, financial crisis, whatever. Now, is that within them six, or is that an additional six?
We would go ahead and use additional six if that came like 3 months, 6 months down the road, and something else came up for that individual. We would see them again for that cost.
Okay. Anything else? Ed?
Not right now.
Okay. Sound good to you?
Well.
Are you going Switzerland on me?
No. I've got more questions, but not necessarily pertaining to the EAP program.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. What is the board's pleasure? You have an option. You can take action today, or you can delay it till next meeting. Your choice. Or do nothing.
I'd like to table this, really, until the next. I'd like to find out more about this stuff. I want to talk to some people, you know, and get their input, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see Jared's on here later in the agenda. If we can hear from him, and then...
Right.
2 weeks. Let's table it. I move to table it until our next meeting.
And your second is worth the table.
Yeah.
Okay. One motion, second to table this for 2 weeks or to our next meeting, which is the 22nd.
Right.
Okay. We got it. Motion's on the floor.
I'm okay.
It's on the floor.
Okay.
Any question on the where we're at? Okay, call roll.
McCarron.
Altmeyer? Yes.
Kamaz?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Okay, this will be back on the floor in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Matt Robbins?
Yes.
Great, thank you, sir. Do you have another one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good afternoon, my name is Matt Robbins. I'm with Mercy Medical Center, and I am here to introduce the board to our Workforce Health Initiative program. The idea behind the program, or the objective with the program, is to collaborate with area employers and identify and address health risks within the workforce before they end up being costly health claims to the employer and major health problems to the employee. Wanted to point out that we do have currently 110 employers, area employers, enrolled in the program, a few of which are the City of South Sioux City, City of Sioux City, the Sioux City Community School District, and Woodbury County. Handed out packets to everyone, and just going to kind of present to you our core wellness package that we use when we work with employers. There's a sheet in the packet that looks like this. And what this is our workforce health profile. We use this to help us identify the different health risks in the workforce. Kind of think of it as a snapshot of the different health risks in the workforce. This is one of three different pages worth of health risks that we look at within the workforce. We use this report to work with the employer, collaborate with the employer to identify those health risks and to make those different changes out there, help employees learn about their health risks and then educate them as well, make those positive changes in their lifestyle. The program is pretty turnkey. We do everything for the employer as far as promotion, being able to process the reports, put the reports and things like that together. Back to the sheet that has core wellness package at the top. In addition to that group health report, what we do is offer on-site screenings for the employees. We actually come on site, and once again, like I mentioned, we promote all these screenings to employees ahead of time. Come out and talk about the confidentiality of them. The fact that the employer doesn't receive anyone's individual health information. We show them the aggregate report. There's no way to identify any individual for their health risk or department or anything like that within the report. We want to keep everything confidential, HIPAA compliant. With our core wellness screenings, what each individual that participates gets is a check of their blood pressure, body mass index assessment, a check of their waist circumference, and a lipid profile. The lipid profile includes a check of their total cholesterol, their HDL and LDL, or their good and bad cholesterol, their blood glucose or blood sugar, and then their triglycerides as well. All of those things are done on site. The machine we use, the finger stick, allows us to give the results back to the employee right away. It takes about 5 minutes for the machine to process the blood sample. That way, we're able to provide immediate education to employees, go over their screening results with them, and then also let them have the opportunity to ask any questions about their health risks. We think that this instant education is really invaluable to allow the employee that time to ask any questions about their health risks that the screening provided. We're not trying to replace physician's visit that employees have. We do want to recognize the fact, as far as a cost perspective, it's a lot less for employees to participate in an on-site screening since we can do a number of them at one time rather than get the same screening done in their physician's office. We do recommend that they share their results and send a result of their screening to their physician. I think one way this cuts down on cost and then also provides more information for the employee is the fact that we do that education right there on the spot. at the workplace. Rather than taking a blood sample, having it sent to a lab, having the results mailed out then a couple weeks afterwards to the employee, and then the employee is left to interpret their results, or go and make schedule another physician's visit to have the results explained to them. So we're kind of saving one physician's visit by doing this screening actually on site. We ask that employees fill out a personal health profile at the time of the screening, or have it completed and bring with them to their screening appointment. Included one of these in each packet. Very quick, to the point, but provides us a lot of different information back in the report. Everything on here, once again, we always point out it's HIPAA compliant. We want all employees to feel comfortable participating in the screening. And then, just like the employer receives their group health report that we looked at earlier, each employee receives a personal health report as well. This is mailed out, as I mentioned, they're going to leave that day with their screening results, but this is actually mailed out to their home 3 or 4 weeks after their screening. This is going to reiterate those screening results to them, but then also give them a report of the different questions that they filled out on the health survey at the time of the appointment. In that core wellness package as well, there are three different presentations. On our speakers bureau, I've included the list in the packet. Those three presentations can be used up in a year's time. Doesn't cost any more or less if the employer chooses to not use those three presentations. They can be offered in the mornings, afternoons, for over the noon hours, a traditional kind of lunch and learn format, where we'll actually bring our health professionals in and do a presentation to employees. A lot of times when we get the report back, this is a good time to kind of go back and look at the presentation list and then schedule those presentations according to the different health risks that we have in the workforce. The whole idea behind the program is to be proactive. If we can identify health risks out there in the workforce before they end up being a major health problem, we can save on healthcare costs, but then also help save the employee from having a major health problem in their life. Anyone have any questions for me? The program.
What is the cost of the program?
The cost of the program is listed on the bottom of this sheet. It says Core Wellness Package. It is $50 per participating employee. So you just get charged for the number of participating or employees that participate in the program. Basically a yearly cost, because we don't normally come on site and do screening any more than once a year. We also provide different kinds of things throughout the year than to for employees along with the program. I mentioned those presentations that we do. We also let them know about different kinds of programs and services that we have at the hospital. We're trying to take a, like I mentioned earlier, proactive approach. If something does happen to you, though, we want you to be aware of the different programs and services that we offer at the hospital, but then also the surrounding clinics. We'll provide different information to employees who don't have a primary care physician about physicians in their area or where they live at our clinics that are accepting new patients. It's always advantageous, I think, for the employee as well as the employer to have folks hooked up with a primary care physician. Most people that have a primary care physician are taking more regular care of themselves, know what kinds of screenings they have coming up, you know, depending on how old they are, things like that. So those are some of the other different things that we provide also along with the program.
How many years have you been doing this?
Mercy's been active in the community doing different on-site type screenings and education for right about 20 years. What we did about 3 years back is kind of pull all of our resources together, because we had our business health clinic going out, working with employers, our dietitians, exercise physiologists, things like that. So we wanted to try to pull all that expertise together, kind of put it under one umbrella, which we call the Workforce Health Initiative. I'm kind of the coordinator of the program, so that's kind of how we pulled everything together. As I mentioned, we have 110 employers in the Siouxland area that are participating on all different levels with the program, because we also have some additional screenings and services that are available that an employer can use then to further kind of customize the program to the needs of their workforce, such as health coaching, PSA, prostate screenings, TSH or thyroid screenings, different vascular screenings, things like that.
Is it common to see improvements in some of these numbers on your repeat employers?
You bet, and that's a good question. Along with that, second year, along with your group health report, what you'll also get is a trended report, because then we'll be able to look at the workforce in 2010 compared to 2011, and then we also provide what we call a same consumer report. And what that is kind of gives you an apples to apples comparison. Let's just say that we identify that we have 5% of the workforce that participates that are smokers. And the following year, something's happened within year to year that those 5% of those individuals have moved to a different job or something, replaced by 5% that don't smoke. Our report the next year is going to say, geez, we have, you know, no smokers out there. Well, before we pat ourselves on the back, we want to be able to actually have an apples-to-apples comparison. That's where that same consumer report comes in. Yeah. We're able to look at the exact same people that participated in 2011 or 2010, and then those same folks in the next year, in 2011. So we'll be able to see the actual health changes, whether they've been healthy or unhealthy changes, each consecutive year, kind of trend the results.
Any other questions?
The $50 a month that you're talking about now, is that $50 for all 107 employees, or is that $50 for just the people that come to the clinic or come to that meeting to have their blood work done, their sugar, whatever it is that we're screening for?
It's $50 per participating employee. So when we do our initial screening, we'll come out to the workplace. So we could have it at a number of different locations, and that's what we're trying to do with the program, is remove the roadblocks or excuses people have for not getting this done. I had to get off of work, I had to go make an appointment, or we're saying we're going to come to you and get that done. So however many employees that are there and that do sign up and participate, that's how many.
So you're not going to be charging for all 107, say?
Correct.
25 show up, the county's only being charged for 25 employees.
Exactly.
Okay.
And 25 is my minimum to be able to provide a group health report, just due to HIPAA and confidentiality and that kind of thing. And we really try to, get out there and really, really promote the program, because we think it is really beneficial for the employer, but not only the employer, the employee as well, to get these things done.
Is that $50 a month or $50 a year?
A year.
A year.
A year.
That doesn't include all these different things on this list.
It includes everything that's on the core wellness package. I think I put a couple sheets in there. They look very similar, but one of them says core wellness package at the top. And I will just point out as well, the cost for what we are doing with the screening and that $50 compared to the cost for those services at a physician's office or a clinic, $50 is what we're charging. You're probably looking at anywhere from $150 to $200 for those services that would be at a clinic.
Okay, now, there's another problem. You say 25 is minimum.
Correct.
I got 25 countywide or 25 per station that you go to?
Countywide, yep.
So if you go to the road department, only five people show up, and you set one up for the sheriff's department and the jailers, and then you get it 20 and 20. That's fine.
Yep. Because that minimum of 25, that is to provide the report. And like I said, we don't divide the report down into different departments.
Okay.
We're providing that countywide. You bet. Okay.
Any other questions?
It's not a question. I think it's a great program. It's just a matter to take advantage, and really go for and make the money's worth. Because let's say, for instance, we were 107 employees, it's $350. If we got 25 employees, the minimum that you request is $1,250. So,
I think it's great, but can we table again, like for another week, and not two weeks, and think about it and talk about it? I mean,
so do you.
What do you guys think? I mean, I'm asking you. What are the rest of the board members? What do you think, Bill?
I did have another question.
Go ahead.
When they get these results under core wellness package,
yep.
Then you have a wellness coaching at $50 an hour.
Right.
So if they get these numbers without this wellness coaching, it won't do them any good.
The core wellness package provides includes a consultation. So we're gonna sit down, go over, explain, you know, total cholesterol, HDL. If they're HDL, that's their good cholesterol. If that's low, these are some things that can impact that number and things that you can do to change that around. The wellness coaching, what that is just kind of a little bit of an extension, more okay. of an extension of that. We take a little bit more time. Employers, a lot of times when they utilize the coaching, they'll have us come back quarterly. And then they might have initially, you know, the wellness coach, we can meet with the employer, what we'll do a lot of times, and they'll say, well, we want our employees to set three goals for themselves to try to reach in a given year. So it's just a little bit more of an extensive, kind of more in-depth type of a consultation. And then, like I said, we normally come back a few times throughout the year with the coaching, too.
Okay.
But that's an additional cost.
Correct. That's at $50 per hour. And once again, there you're only paying for while we're on site if we're doing the coaching, and then if everyone has an appointment, and then I'll go back to that core wellness screening as well. Everyone has an appointment. We just don't, you know, put out a flyer and say, hey, Mercy's going to be in this building in this room at this time. Stop on by. I mean, we actually go out, promote this to people, and we find that when we're able to go out on site, you know, at the beginning end of a shift or safety meeting or something like that to promote this, we really have more of an impact and generally can see about 50% better participation if we're actually going out and promoting it as Mercy versus the employer saying, you know, come on guys, you really should do this. So we really feel that we have a really good impact when we go out and do it. And like I said, everybody has an appointment time.
You thought you could see 12 to 15 in an hour, right?
Correct.
So yeah. If you had 25 participating, you'd have a $100.
Typically do, the screenings right away in the morning, and then if we're doing like a coaching, a follow-up coaching quarterly, we can do that, you know, anytime. We do that anytime that it works best for that department. I mean, I know if we do the core wellness screening package and the coaching with the city of South Sioux City, so we'll be at, you know, Public Works, we'll be at City Hall, we'll be at the police department, and some of those folks carry some pretty different hours. So we'll always come out, and when it's advantageous to those employees, we're going to see the biggest impact through participation for those folks.
Okay. Other questions?
I think I agree with Tony. I think I feel, too, that if we could table this, maybe not 2 weeks, maybe if we could do a quick survey of our employees, maybe each department head could get a head count. Maybe we wouldn't have 25. But if we could do that in the meantime,
sure.
Then you come back.
Sure.
And maybe we can do it in 2 weeks. I don't know, but I think we'll get at least 25. I think it's a good program.
It is. It is, no doubt.
I think it's, from my experience, it's always how you roll it out to the employee. You know, I mean, you want to roll it out really positive because that's what it is.
It is.
And then you want to, you know, also really stress that confidentiality of it as well. And I know that, and I can speak from Woodbury County that we work with. You guys have seen any of our different articles over the last few months in the journal. I know that they were really worried some about confidentiality and things like that. And so far, we are just seeing just outstanding participation by their employees. So, once again, I just think, you know, having us get out there to help promote things really, really can increase that participation in that.
The next meeting after the 22nd will be the 8th of March. The 22nd after that. So,
just give us enough time to do a quick employee survey.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we can do it within a couple weeks, otherwise it'll be a month.
4 weeks to do that?
Joan?
I can do it tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I can send out. You could.
I can talk with you about, you know, a couple different things that you might want to ask.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks could be past. 2 weeks.
I move to table.
I second it.
Motion made and seconded to table it for 2 weeks, which would be the 22nd. Question?
Yes.
He can have one.
Yeah. Let's give you Jones.
Motion made and seconded to table. Call the roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNear?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Tabled to the 22nd. Next is Mr. Paul.
Hi, I'm Ralph Pulse. I'm with the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District. I am going to pass around a fact sheet and a map of the Pigeon Jones flood control recreation sediment control project. That's a project that we've been talking about for a number of years. It's the one that would be just east of Hubbard. We are making progress, and I can tell you what we're doing at the present time. We have appraisers that are meeting with the landowners that have land within the project site. They'll have their reports completed the end of February, and that will set the stage for the district, the right-of-way firm that's going to meet with those landowners, and at that point we'll acquire the land for the project. We will be having a public meeting probably in March, and that's part of the requirement in order for us to proceed with land rights acquisition. We'll have it over at the office here in Dakota City, and they're certainly welcome to attend. It'll be primarily for the landowners in that watershed. One of the reasons that I'm here today is to ask you to reaffirm your support for the project, something that you did in 2000. It helps greatly when we can show that we have local support, and the county has provided support from the very beginning. If you take a look at the funding for the project, we're up to about $14.8 million. A good deal of that will come from grants, like from the Department of Environmental Control, the state of Nebraska, the Game and Parks Commission. Dakota County has agreed to provide $300,000 for road construction. There's some county roads that need to be realigned for the project area. Anyway, our board has recently acquired the ability to issue bonds for big projects. When I talk about big projects, talking about the flood control needs in the Omaha metro area, Papillion Creek and so on. I think we've got $13.3 million that we want to issue bonds for, primarily for that project. Some of the money would be for the Pigeon Jones project, for land acquisition. Our board meets tomorrow night, the subcommittee that considers that. We need an 8-member vote yes out of the 11 members that we have on the board in order for these bonding issues to move ahead. Now, the Pigeon Jones project is going to be, it's going to stay on track regardless of what the board does at this point, because we'll simply budget for it in this next fiscal year. But you know, as Deb was budget yourself, and you know that we won't have that money available until probably August when the budget is finalized. And in the meantime, we probably could be moving along with the land rights acquisition, which could occur as early as June, if you look at the schedule that we've got there. So what I'm asking is that county board reaffirm their resolution passed in 2000 and give our board, your indication that you're continuing to support the project.
May I have before you a resolution 10C002, resolution to support Pigeon Jones Creek Special Watershed Project. Whereas the Papillion Missouri River NRD and the Natural Resources Conservation Service has developed the Pigeon Jones Creek Special Watershed Project, and whereas the project provides for financial incentives to landowners to protect the uplands from the soil erosion and sedimentation and to reduce flood damages and depositation of sediment in the bottomlands of the watershed, and whereas the public benefit includes reduced maintenance costs in the drainage system, improved water quality and wildlife habitat, and whereas the project will include a public recreation area with water-based recreation, camping, hiking, biking, and trails, other outdoor education, and numerous other outdoor recreation amenities. Therefore, let it be resolved that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners hereby support the Pigeon Jones Creek Special Watershed Project and has been developed by the Papillion Missouri River NRD and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Resolution.
I'd like to add, too, we've talked about this before. In this watershed, the NRD has agreed to pay, I think, up to 85% of the county to replace bridges, tubes with
road structures.
Road structures. And that's a good opportunity for Dakota County itself. We have a lot of bridges that are obsolete in that area, a lot of tubes that are bad, and we need to utilize that. But I would move to adopt the resolution 10C-002 in support of the Pigeon Jones Special Watershed Project.
I have a motion here. Do I have a second?
I don't second.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed it. Motion made and seconded to pass resolution 10C-002. Questions or comments?
Anything for Dakota County?
It is, yes. McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have the resolution here for each of you to sign. If you would, please. Okay, moving on, Randy Walsh.
Okay, what I'm here today for is concerning the purchasing of vehicles for the Sheriff's Department. We've already budgeted for the purchases. However, I did go through with Rod and we got bids. What we did is we checked on the state bids, which we had Chevy was the low bid on the state bid. Dodge was the low bid on cars on the state bid. Chevy didn't. Their cars were not pickups. We were then contacted by Woodhouse Ford, who would like to submit a bid to us, so we told them that's fine, they could. What happened is, when we threw the bids in on state bid, the low bid of the Chevrolet came in at about $23,000 apiece. However, when we were looking at the bid options, one of the options was the split front seat, which we need, which is almost $1,000, $995 is what it is. We need them. They didn't come. That came as an option on Chevy, so he had that on. We also looked at Chevy, and their bid come in on the state bid did not include warranty. That was an option for $2,315. You could buy the warranty for the vehicle, so it did not include the warranty on the vehicle at all. In talking to the Dodge, the problem we have there is their cars. None of the equipment fits that we have in any Dodge vehicles or anything like that. Woodhouse did submit us a bid on Ford pickups like we have right now. And looking at them, they come in actually $4 cheaper than the Chevy. Their bid is $26,300. This is for three of them, and we have that budgeted. What I'm asking now is the approval that we can go ahead and make the purchase, work out the arrangements like we did last year, or the last time we bought them, as a lease purchase. I believe it was through Miramont, and we worked with Joan and Sandy to work that out. Permission for the board chairman to sign those documents and then so we can get them ordered.
Question?
You need pickups? Can you use
there them? Are no Ford cars on this year's state bid. the cars are the Dodge Ram. The problem we have with that is none of our equipment that we have as far as cages and stuff like that we have up above the four cars will fit that, so we'd end up buying newer stuff for that. The Chevy pickups would require some adaption, but when looking at the state bid price, as I said, we need to have the split front seats because we mount our record, our radios in the middle there. That's an option that we'd have to buy, which is $995. And then the real kicker on that was the $2,315 for the warranty. You know, we don't want to buy a vehicle that doesn't have a warranty. The Woodhouse Fords would come with the warranty. They come with the seats that we need. You know, and that's their price is actually, like I say, that you add in the cost on the Chevy, it's about $26,334 a piece. Woodhouse Ford is $26,300. The other thing I'd like to mention this, and I was contacted, I think Jones was contacted too. Fred from the Department of Roads is also looking at possibly doing one with Woodhouse Ford with us.
Let me ask you a question. Based upon use, which is more reliable and less expensive for maintenance?
Actually, the four pickups that we have right now are running just as well as the cars. The main thing about them also is resale. We've had cars in the past that we set them out there when we're done with them at 100,000 miles on them, and you might get $300, $400, $500 for them on sale. You put a pickup out there with 100,000 miles on it, same vehicle, you know, except it's four-wheel drive or whatever, and it might get you $4,000 or $5,000 from somebody buying it. Or if we can't sell them, we can turn it over to the road department to use too until they run into the ground or whatever. So I mean, the pickups are working out very well.
And they retain the value more than the cars. And also, I mean, my experience, we got Dodge and Fords. The Dodge deteriorate their value versus Ford. And my truck that I got, I got 200,000 miles on it.
And the other problem with the Dodge cars that are on state bid, they're front-wheel drive. And even the state patrol doesn't recommend front-wheel drive for law enforcement. On county, especially because of the gravel roads, they go through front-wheel drive systems.
This is what I heard. This is what the reason for my question is. I heard that front ends on automobiles did not hold up as well as they did on pickups.
And that's because of the front-wheel drive. Front-wheel drive on gravel roads, the state patrol will tell you even in their evaluations that the only front-wheel drive ones they have are cars that are used on the interstates.
Next question is, what is the percentage of the vehicles on county on gravel road is to pavement? Any idea?
I really couldn't tell you. Our guys, I mean, we instruct our guys to stick to the county and let the highway go to the patrol, but we cover accidents on the highways and everything like that too, and so, I mean, they're on there, but majority of the time is, I would say, probably on county roads. And they really come in handy in weather like we've been having, getting around, so.
Okay, any other questions?
No, to me, I'd rather put out for a pickup, because I know when you go to trade a pickup in with 140,000 miles and you got a car with 100,000 miles, that's low mileage on a pickup. And I can speak from experience, because it's happened to me. So that's what I'm saying. To me, the pickups is a lot better when you're going to be on gravel roads in snow all the time, you know, in the wintertime. And you got to get out there. You're going to set with a car, and that's my theory.
And you have money in the budget, I heard you say, correct?
Yes, they were budgeted for three vehicles this year. I believe it was around $80,000 in the budget, so we'd have enough if anything to come up with a little incidentals.
Okay.
Now,
what's your pleasure?
That means everybody will have a pickup now.
Rob makes final decision. I believe there's one we're going to have to replace that's on the road now that's got some transmission problems, so one will be there. Two may go on to the new guys, so.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
Either everybody would or would be right close to it.
Okay. So this is the price here.
$26,300. That's their base price on the Ford, and that includes the seats, the you know, that we would have, because that's in their price, that's the color we want and everything like that, which is the same as the one we got now. Basically the four-door, four-door, just like we got.
You want to do the road department separate?
Okay. And I know from talking to Fred right before then, that just before the meeting tonight, that he talked to Woodhouse too, and they're willing to give that same price. Fred.
What's your pleasure?
I would.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead.
I would move to authorize the Sheriff's Department to purchase these, or at least purchase these three pickups, the Fords.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded to authorize the purchase of three pickups from Woodhouse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What?
Okay.
What make are they?
Ford.
Ford.
And then we'd also need something that, when we talk with Joan and the Irma, or whoever does the lease purchase, that the war chamber will be able to sign that.
Okay, I'll put that in the motion.
Okay. Questions? Hearing none, call roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Kamiz?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Fred Kellogg?
He's at the public hearing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you want to take?
Do they have to be timed together?
I didn't discuss that part with Fred, but I just know that he said he talked to Woodhouse and that they would do the same price. And he was wanting to buy one for road car, but I didn't have a chance to go up and see if he can run down or.
No, they're going to be up there until 6.
Have we got that in the budget for the road? We have.
We have the money in the budget so they can buy the pickup?
It's a budgeted line item for vehicle purchase.
Okay.
We run away with these then.
Yeah, I think.
Does he want a four-door too, no?
Yeah, he wants the same thing.
And I don't know if that would make a difference on the lease purchase. On the interest or not, or what, that, I don't know.
Well, I know the one pickup's pretty bad shape.
Yeah, we haven't bought a pickup out there for about, 4 years.
I think you got the last one.
Yeah. I would move that we go ahead with the same agreement with the road department. The lease purchase on a new Ford pickup.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded that we authorize the road department to purchase a Ford pickup with Woodhouse with the same understanding as we have with the Sheriff's Department and authorize the chair to sign it. Agreed? Is that fair?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Okay. Questions, comments?
May I have a question?
Sure.
If they can put together a lower interest rate with four of the vehicles combined versus three and one, you want to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because we can work out the payments from one bunch of them, sure.
Okay. What was the question?
My question was if they can put together lesser package with lesser interest with the four pickups versus the three and one, whether you wanted to go that route.
No, lower interest.
If it's going to save money, yes.
Yeah. Save money, the way I look at it.
Just a vote, motion clarification.
Sure, that's a good question.
I think the motion is, my intent was we allow them to go ahead and be a part of that. Was that
right.
Which to me says, yeah, they'd be part of the four pick purchase instead of 3-1.
Okay, I didn't understand that. Okay.
No, I understand. No, okay. Any other questions? Call roll.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Garrett?
Members of the board, Jared Junkie, president of FOP. Basically is what we're up here for. you guys got a whole slew of information in front of you concerning the county health insurance, the trends that we have been taking on. I think what the county did, the county commissioners back in 05 did, was actually a very wise move. It somewhat self-insured, and it's going to save the county money. One of the things that I really don't think anybody's seen coming until just a month ago was this Mental Health Parity Act, which basically says if you're going to put mental health insurance in with your normal health insurance, that you have to pay it within the entirety. You can't just, like the old insurance that we had, you paid 30 days of inpatient, 30 days of outpatient, and I believe it was 30 individual days of counseling, I believe is what it said. And then, so if we're going to put mental health insurance into the insurance, it's going to be a $40,000 increase. We agree, the FOP does agree, that that is an awful steep price increase. But going along with what we have for the contract with the FOP and the commissioners, we would agree that we go along with that. Mrs. Jorgensen, Mr. Robbins, came up and gave a very good presentation. Mrs. Jorgensen's proposal, the EAP program, I believe is a good deal. It kind of gets the presentation that she gave last week, gave us some of the national standards. The whole reason she gave, or that you get six sessions, is because typically nationwide you normally see a counselor six different sessions to resolve some type of issue, and that's why it's stuck at six sessions. We agree with that. And then the Matt Robbins with Mercy Medical Center, he was here. The biggest part of our health insurance as a county is going to come, just like Mr. Rapp and Mr. Faber said, is between the 40 and 50, 60-year-old group, and that's just because we're all getting a little bit older every day, and we're starting to slow down a little bit. And one of the things that...
I'm looking at me.
Huh? I'm looking at everybody, Tony.
okay.
What you have to admit is better than the alternative.
Yes. One of the things that we had asked at this meeting, and it was Rick Bosque was the county commissioner that attended that meeting, myself and Joan. And one of the things that we also brought up is maybe a membership to the Y. To kind of incorporate this whole healthy lifestyle living, not only are we going to get the blood work done, kind of see how everything's going, and I'm going to have to sit down and look through the stuff that Mr. Robbins gave us. Commissioner Rohde brought up a question on the $50 for us to come in, or for them guys to come and actually give wellness coaching at $50 an hour. My understanding, the YMCA at $39 a month, that's going to me, if the person is willing to get out and do a little bit of work, that's going to go a long ways. And number one, reducing the claims. Number two, it's going to help, it's going to promote a more healthy lifestyle. And really, I guess, is what we're doing is we're up here letting you guys decide what we want to do, or decide what you guys want to do. We just want to be kept in the loop as to what's going on.
We appreciate that. We want the income from the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to cut you out.
No. I understand that.
I don't think you insinuated that.
No, not at all. No, we knew, that this whole Parity Act was one of those things that was just thrown on the table and said, okay, well, now we got to deal with it. So without violating the contract, we want to sit down and let's hopefully get all the options out there, like you guys have done a great job by bringing these guys in, and look at the differences that we have. Before you asked me if I had any more questions, My only question is really doesn't concern the board, what happens when someone, whether it be in the jail side, the county road side, the sheriff's side, what happens when they have a mental breakdown because they walk onto a horrific accident scene or whatever. How is that going to be paid for? Well, some of that's going to go through work comp, some of it's not. And I guess that's just something we're going to have to walk towards or work towards until we figure it out. The Mental Health Parity Act, reading through it, the rules haven't even been written on it yet. Only the law is out there. So that's the biggest stepping stone that I had on the whole deal is, you know, where do the employees sit just in that case? I mean, it's not, I hope to God that we never have a case like that, but it has happened before. We have had people that have, you know, seen too much. And so,
in answering back to you, I think from my standpoint, and I'm sure the board, we'd rather hear it from people before we act rather than after we act.
Right.
So that's why we're very happy to come forward and explain what you feel, and you speak for the employees. And then we can make a decision for the best interest of the employee. If we didn't have you come forward and you came out later and then you were all dissatisfied with our decision,
right?
We wouldn't like that either.
No.
So we appreciate your taking the time to come in and talk to us.
I have talked to the members, and forgive me, but I don't remember what the union is out at the county roads, but I do know the two stewards out there, and I've been in contact with them guys and pretty much let them know where we stand on everything, and they said to go ahead and go with whatever they understand where we're at. So I just keep them guys involved in it, at least at, you know, this is kind of the steps that are being taken.
Okay.
So
exactly. Anybody have any questions for Jerry?
Good presentation.
Evidently, no questions, Jerry.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And,
yep.
And I really appreciate your input.
Thank you.
For your time.
Okay, Mr. Kern.
Yeah.
First thing I have came up from the Board of Corrections, and that is to sign the letter of employment agreement with Terry.
Yeah.
So I need permission to do that.
Oh.
Motion to. You have a second?
Which is this? Second, right?
A motion made and seconded to authorize the chair to sign the letter of employment with Terry Kern. Questions? Comments? Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Lody.
Yes.
Next we have is to approve the CBM food contract to reflect 2 hot meals per day. It's been approved by the Board of Corrections. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the change in the CBM contract. Questions or comments? Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Doherty?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Okay, moving to the next item on the agenda is you approve the service contract with M-Plus Architects. You have a copy in your handout. It states a base fee and spells out the services they're going to do. This is in relation to the improving the energy in the building, which has to do with heating and cooling systems to improve them. They were here at our last meeting and talked to us about what they were going to do.
Paul's here.
Yeah, okay. If you have any questions, feel free.
So?
Basically, this allows us to actually do the design work and put the bid packages together to solicit bids. And once the bids are solicited, we'll open up, get a low bidder in place, and then start the process. And during the construction, we'll have someone periodically
evaluating the work and making sure it's being done per the documents.
Okay.
I will make the motion that put out the bids for the...
To approve the contract without the bid?
Yes. So we'll be starting on.
And once the documents are complete, then I'll return back here, review everything with you before we send it out to the street.
Then you make the motion. I made the motion.
I second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the contract and move forward with the letting of bids. Discussion, comments, questions? Call roll.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rorty.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Okay, next item is approve the payroll claims. They are in order. A lot of overtime, but they're in order.
So move.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the payroll claims. Questions or comments? Call roll.
Rorty.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes. Next is the approval of the accounts payable claims. They are in order. There's no problem.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the claims. Questions? Call the roll.
McNair.
Yes.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rorty.
Yes.
Discussion and clarification of the submission of payment of claims. Discussion on that?
I don't have any.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'd like to comment in talking with the Sheriff's Department on this particular item. We'd like to submit them twice a month. If we could, any of the claims that we get in, or leave it the way it is right now. The problem we've had is we do have some cards that submit at different times that we have, like charge counts, an example is Walmart. We have an account, and sometimes it falls towards the end of the month, doesn't get in, and their accounting people, when we have had went up there and to get something, they'll say, no, we won't honor your card, you haven't been together. So that's why we'd like to go with being able to submit twice a month. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, if the bill comes in, it might be there, and if the next bill comes in, of course, I submit a two and get them paid, because that could be a real problem. Us sometimes. We had guys out on the road. The last example was in Las Vegas picking up a thing and they refused on a credit card until we got a hold of them and had it extended because they hadn't received a payment yet because of the late payment from the falling, how they fall on the minutes then. So we'd like to see it twice a month to submit any of the claims and go that way, but if not, we'll have to leave it the way it is.
That would have worked out better for us, too, for the same reason. On the proposed system, it's possible we wouldn't pay a claim for up to 5 weeks, and our vendors won't hold still for that. But it makes perfect sense to me, anyway. And what I thought was proposed was payroll claims and the other claims same time, twice each month, paid twice each month. Board doesn't have to come in for the specific purpose of the claims. That takes away the need for a board meeting each month, and I think that makes great sense. But if it can't be that way, I just keep it the way it is now.
Any other comments? I might ask, how did the board sense when we set this up to be done?
My initial thoughts were it was going to be done twice a month.
When
we left here, that meeting was
paying all claims, payroll and claims to the county twice a month.
That's the way I took it.
It's true. I took the same way.
Dick?
Yeah, I did. I seconded the motion. I thought, but then.
Okay. So, this being a trial period, this month and next month, we're going to pay claims, both payroll and claims, at each meeting. Right?
Yeah, it's just a charge for 2 months. We've done some work, we've
already... Yeah, for 2 months, 2 months.
The old system.
So again on the 22nd, and again on the 8th, and again on the 22nd of March, we pay payroll and claims. Review it on the 22nd of March. as to what we're going to do from then on.
Did you have in mind that any department could file any time and pay as many times as they want to a month?
Well, they could file claims on the 8th and file again what claims come in on the 22nd. Okay.
I can tell you I probably won't. It won't go beyond the trial period doing that.
Well, that's fine.
I'll honor the trial period.
But the trial period, yes, they can enter claims on both times. Is that what I understand you say?
That's the way I took it then.
How are you going to do the payroll on that month when there's three paychecks every 2 days?
Yeah, well, the understanding here is that claims could be paid along with payroll each time we met. Is that what you're getting at?
No, I just, there's 2 months out of the year that there's three actual pay periods. And if you only have them twice a month for payroll and accounts payable, two of those months you're going to have a problem with payroll.
I don't think he was addressing payroll at all.
No, he was saying payroll and accounts payable.
Well, it would be the same in my thinking, Randy. We haven't changed payroll dates at all.
No, but in two of those months of the year, you're going to have a third meeting to approve the payroll.
We meet every other month, every other week, regardless.
Okay.
Sometimes there might be three in the same month, but there'll be every other. Okay.
I thought I was mistaken. I was thinking you were talking going down twice.
No. Every 2 weeks we meet. So the payroll stays the same. Now we're just saying we're going to pay claims on the same time that we pay care. That will eliminate, should eliminate all late payments.
Yes.
If it doesn't come in for the one, rather than wait another month for it to come in again, you can make it into the next 2 week period. And it should assist on that.
And during this trial period, I'd like to have those two offices submit to me all the late fees that they've been assessed in the last year.
Okay. If they have that available?
I'm sure they do with their claims.
Okay.
Is that what you want, Bill? Is that what you want every other week? That's the way you put it.
I think during this trial period.
Yeah.
For the trial period. For 2 months.
I mean.
February and March.
Good deal. Okay.
And by the 22nd of March, when we meet, and it isn't working, we can vote to go back or vote to keep it.
Whether
that be voted one way or the other.
Ted's office would like to do them once a month. But my question is, your workload shouldn't be any more. It'll be spread out, but there'll still be the same number of claims.
Absolutely. It doubles my workload in accounts payable because we're just taking claims all the time.
It'll still be the same number of claims.
But that's immaterial. That's just part of it. That's only the input of the claims. There's many other things that we have to do. It also hinders the lookup of the claims because we have no idea which payday they're paid. And
I think our local vendors would understand if we were late. But I understand. He talks about Walmart. Gas cards, this and that. And, you know, those people will not understand.
Yeah. All I say is, we've got to set up a trial. Let's try it. If it doesn't work, we go back.
Sure.
But
I want to try to make it work for everybody.
two months, you tell us. Hopefully.
That's the way I understood that when you make the motion, we're going to try for 2 months. If it don't work, we go back to the same, to the old.
That is clear. Clear? With you?
Mm-hmm.
Not agreed, but clear.
Clear.
All right. Next item is the Lost Hills membership claim that was tabled from January the 19th. Do we have to vote to take it off the table? Need a motion to take it off the table and discuss it.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second to remove Lost Hills from the table items. Call the roll.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Okay. Membership is up again, and that membership fee was how much? Remember?
$300.
Tony, you serve on that.
You know what? I serve, but I haven't been to the meeting, to be honest with you. It's true. As a matter of fact, I just talked to him Thursday, and I said, you know, you sent an email the day before, and you met in Auckland and different places. I mean, I got to have more time to plan to go to your meetings, so otherwise I won't be able to make it. So they let me know on the day before, so it's not going to work.
Well, I had the same problem when I was on there, so it was tough to make those meetings.
What's your pleasure?
I think let's let it go another year. That's the way I feel.
Not join?
No.
I don't. Motion?
Do we need a motion?
Don't you think we do? Do we?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'd move to
not join. Not join.
So you're denying the claim?
Yes.
Yes, I just might want to make a comment. If they let me know, even more time in advance, those meetings, you know, I like to go and I like to see what, you know, what this is all about. I have had a chance.
I don't blame you.
Then next year we can talk more about that whole thing and then we join. That's just a comment.
That's right.
Do you have a second?
Yeah, I second.
Tony.
Do you have a second? Do you have it down?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. It's just me. Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Mr. Hoodie?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner reports? Alright, real quickly, I'd point out I gave you a copy of the update of the budget, how it's progressing. And I also gave you a list of bills before the legislature. I think we need to pare that down. So if you take a look at it and line through the ones that you don't see of any interest to the county and bring it back next in 2 weeks, then we can pare that down some.
Okay.
Good. Now, really update of interest. Constitutional Amendment 6 was killed. That would have allowed slot machines in the horse tracks. That was killed, so that won't happen, at least until they bring it back. They also killed Gambling Act on to assist horse racing. That bill was passed or was killed. To allow mini trucks to operate on highways. That's moved to select file. If you have any disagreement with that, let me know. They killed that authorized only one license plate, so the state will stay with two. The bill that was before the legislatures to reduce the counties from 93 to 30 was killed. That died.
What number is that?
826. Allow counties to terminate inactive townships. That's on the floor for discussion at this time. That's any township that is not active. They can't get enough people to serve, so they can't pay their bills. So those bills are hanging. This allows the counties in those areas to do away with those townships.
Okay.
955, that's the goes before the committee on February the 18th. That's the Correctional Facility Reimbursement Act. That's the one that came from this county. So brings you up to date on that part. Okay?
Okay.
Anybody have anything else? Okay, public. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on any item not on the agenda?
I didn't hit on the Merit Commission part of it when I was up.
It was on the agenda, but...
It didn't get called for.
Pardon?
It didn't get called for. There's two things under Jared.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jared. You come right up here. I blew that one.
Okay. He
essentially, you've heard from Director Kern with Dakota County Correctional Facility, the letter that the County Board of Commissioners agreed to with the FOP 49 concerning the jail staff. You pretty much covered it in your Board of Corrections, but just as the Board of Commissioners, we were wondering where we're at on that status. As for the FOP, we have already made an election of one officer or one representative if and when this gets up and going. So just so you guys know that we already have the representative for the merit type commission that would that the county board would enact or would put in place. So we're ready to go. We don't want to hold the jail up, Director Kern up from doing his testing, getting that stuff going, however that is going to be deemed once the final wording is done. So we were bringing it to the table so we could get it going, and that's the whole reason.
And I appreciate that. I would have adjourned this meeting and would have had to take the action if you hadn't stepped forward. Thank you very much. So we have on the floor at this time, thanks to Jared, the establishment of a merit commission for the correction officers. And it was the Board of Corrections' desire that that board for the Sheriff's Department continue, excepting for the Director of Corrections replacing the sheriff, and a jail corrections officer replace the sheriff's on that. All other members would remain the same. Is that fair? Is that what you understood?
That and the fact that the state statutes that actually cover the merit commission would not come, would not be in place for the correctional officers because it just doesn't account for it.
Yeah. But we want to be fair to our people, so we want to do this for them.
Okay.
Is that fair? Okay. Need a motion.
Motion. Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt a merit commission for the correctional officers and the substitution of officers on that board as we stated. Okay, any questions, comments? Call the roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McNair, McLarty?
Yeah.
Got a question. Did you say state statute don't allow for that?
State statute for the merit commission allows for the sheriff's office, being that there is a board of corrections for the jailers.
Mm-hmm.
The board of corrections actually covers, or is actually in charge of the Dakota County Jail facility. The sheriff is not.
That's correct.
So according to, if you actually read the merit commission, which is all backed up by state statute. One of the things that you're gonna that you would have to do by law is actually take out the references to state statute in that merit commission when you write this proposal or write the intent letter or the contract or however you want to word that document. The document, you have to strike out the state statute references.
My question would be, if the state statute don't allow for it, how do you do it?
The Board of Commissioners agreed to it in the contract.
Have you done that? Have you went through county attorney on that? Whether you have the authority to do that?
Went through the Jim Hanks.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Call roll.
Gomez.
Yes.
McLarty.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
McNair.
Yes.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you,
sir. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board? Okay, there is no emergency meeting. Next thing we have is a jail tour. How many are able to stay for a jail tour?
I'm here. Are we supposed to be upstairs?
It's over.
It's over. Our public hearing.
Oh, we're done.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't gone up there.
Are you able to go on a jail tour?
Not today.
Pardon?
Yeah, we can. Let's go.
Okay. Then we will go on the jail tour and then come back, and or we will adjourn.
Turn it over there, right? Tell the deputy he's got to let us back in. We're parked on the other side of the room.
We hope somebody goes
in. You don't come out. Once you come in, you don't come out.
Well, we're going to get back in. They might have to fix windows in the morning.
Good night. The board, Tony Gomez and Richard McNair, Bill McLarty, toured the new jail, and they adjourned from the new jail at 6:25 with a motion by Tony Gomez, second by McNair, to adjourn, and that vote was unanimous. Commissioner Rohde did not go on the jail tour, nor did they visit the old jail.